house calls once per hour. Dial 928-1350 and tell Northeastern Connecticut your story.
Good morning, Northeastern Connecticut, and welcome to the WYNY Talk Show on this 26th day of March. It's Tuesday. Dave Ward here with you through 11 a.m. And this morning, we begin our show with guests. We are having an urgent conversation here on the talk show. And joining us to have that urgent conversation, you've heard her voice before, and she has other guests with her, Bridget Jersic of Woodstock. Bridget, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Dave, for having us here.
You and I have talked over the past, I want to say, about a year, where we've had conversations about the opioid epidemic here, not only in just in Connecticut, but in Northeastern Connecticut in particular. And we always start these conversations, or at least I do, by saying, well, things don't happen. Things like that don't happen in Northeastern Connecticut. There are no overdoses in Northeastern Connecticut. It just doesn't happen. It's a big city thing. Out here in the woods, in the quiet corner, we're immune to those things. And Bridget, you have shared with me and our audience that that is not the case, and you're trying to do something about it. And we are in the middle of a program that you put together along with Woodstock Academy and other partners to really bring this conversation forward and to bring the whole issue to keep it moving forward. Tell me about what you're in the middle of right now. Tell me about this program. It's called the Quiet Corners Urgent Conversation.
Well, I decided, I went to the school and had spoke to them about putting together a conversation, a way to start a conversation between parents and their children and just amongst the community and what we can do as a whole to not only bring education and awareness to the generation coming up, but also to find a way to help those that are already in trouble here. And so it's kind of a dual mission. So I put together this event actually with the help of a good friend of mine, Courtney. She actually helped me to get both Tim Ryan, who has been, well, he'll tell you a little bit more about himself.
I want you to introduce the guest, but let's fill our listeners in just to refresh their memory. Tell us about your story and what brought you to this particular point in time.
Well, I lost my daughter, Kasia, September 12th, 2015. She was 27. She would be 31 next month. Kasia was a Woodstock Academy athlete, soccer star, track star, still has a record on the board at the Academy. And she was beautiful and she was funny and she experimented and with her friends, you know, here locally, and she was addicted. And she was sick. She, you know, through the years it got harder and eventually we lost her. And I raise her daughter. I've raised her since she was born, and her daughter's now 9. Her daughter lost both parents, as you know, so within one weekend. So my job is to make sure that her life is safe and that I don't watch other parents suffer what we've suffered, because it is, we know this, it's hell on earth, but you can either do two things. You can either hide away and act as if it didn't happen to you, or you can stand up and say, I can't have this happen to other parents.
And it takes some guts to stand up.
Well, with the repercussions are a lot of fun, yeah.
Well, introduce who you brought with you today, who's been part of this program, this urgent conversation, and then we'll get into their personal details as well, because they've been sharing them.
Yeah, and I thank them so much for being here, because if you don't come tonight, you're missing, like, stupendous speakers, and not only that, but they get it across. I mean, I had friends who posted last night that they couldn't leave their seats to go to the bathroom.
So, before we do that, let's talk about the start to the program happened last night, but it continues tonight.
Yeah, it's not a two-part program. Okay. We did it two nights so that we could reach more people.
Okay, all right, good.
And then tomorrow morning at Hale from 8 till 11:30, sign your student up right now. Call the number that is on the flyer or call the YMCA itself and they will put you down. But they'll bring your child to the school tomorrow from 8 to 11:30 and be able to listen to the speakers and get even more information and have they're going to do activities with them to open this conversation.
So tell me about the program tonight. What's happening tonight?
Well, the speakers, I mean, we have some tables on the outside. We have actually the Memorial Project, which John Lally brought. This Memorial Project is photos of people in our state who've passed from overdoses. It is a beautiful tribute. You can't walk by it and not feel something. And when you first walk in, the first person you'll see is my daughter.
It's a powerful thing.
It's powerful, but it's also gut-wrenching to walk through it and know that this is everywhere in all our communities.
Literally everywhere. Here, right here.
Exactly.
All right, introduce your panel.
All right. We have John Lally, who is a... he is APRN. Yeah. He's an APRN in mental health, has actually worked with families of addiction, as well as losing his own son to that very thing. Tim Ryan, who has an incredible story, travels the entire country and speaks to many people, does interventions, has done some TV, has done authored a book on From Dope to Hope. Just an incredible speaker. Like, really incredible.
Well, Tim, you're coming up. We want to hear your story as well as John.
But his is incredible. Going. And then we have Jennifer Jimenez. And Jennifer she is many things. But most importantly, she's a person who is in recovery and is beautiful inside and out. But with her beauty, she was she's a model. She's done covers of magazines. She's an actress. So she's a multitude of things. But today, I think more importantly, what she is a healer. And I think that's awesome.
You know what? Can we swing the mic around to Jennifer here?
Hi.
Jennifer, thank you. Thank you for joining us. You come to us with an interesting background. You're out there in the spotlight and then suddenly shining something that isn't Hollywood, a personal part of your life, to add that to the public part of your life. What has that been like?
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, Bridget. Thank you for creating this. You know, I think it's important. I love how it's called having an open conversation, you know, open conversation. I'm really honored to be here. What it's been like for me to be public about my life and the struggles and the obstacles and adversities that I've overcome and I'm going through still because I'm a human being, which is really amazing, I think, for me to say that, because sometimes, you know, I tend, because of the lifestyle that I've lived and the background that I come from modeling to acting, you know, people want you to be a certain way, you know, and I'm a great chameleon. It's my story and it's been my journey, but I think it's also important to be humanized and to understand that, you know, we all want to have human connections, and I don't want to isolate myself anymore. So much of my life, for so long, I isolated and I pretended I was somebody else. And the reality is I am a human being, you know, and I go through struggles and I go through obstacles and adversities and I overcome them. And that's the key, is being able to talk about it, to allow other people to connect. It's not normal to say and do this, but I felt that for my recovery and being a woman, it's important to share that, you know, and to let other people feel they can connect. It's been very interesting because, you know, I definitely have been bashed and been, you know, a lot of people.
That was going to be my next question. It comes with risks.
It comes with a lot of risks, but you know, I own who I am today. And what I was taught is that if I stand in my truth, I can't go wrong. And you know, saying what I've done or what I've overcome, you know, saying that I'm a woman in recovery, and yes, I struggled with addiction, you know, and yes, I wanted to die, and yes, I struggle with mental disorders as well. I suffer from depression, and being able to talk about that doesn't make me crazy. It makes me human, you know, and to be able to bring that to light has been so healing for me, you know, and it's, I don't walk in shame anymore. I have no shame to my game, if that makes sense.
Everybody in the studio that Bridget has just introduced are all shaking their heads. Do you find that when you get out and speak to your truth and speak your story, that you see a lot of shaking heads in the audience?
I do. You know, and I feel very vulnerable. You know, I feel vulnerable because I'm sharing this, and I'm in a room full of people, or I'm in a room right now and I'm talking to people that are driving right now or listening at home. And, you know, I still suffer from people pleasing, but again, I have to stand in my truth. And I'm a woman today of integrity, and I have a lot of flaws as well, and I own them. You know, that's part of my character, and it's okay. It's okay to be mean, and I'm just really excited to learn more about myself and to experience more things in life.
When you speak at events like what Bridget has put together here in Northeastern Connecticut, what do you walk away with?
Oh my gosh, we were talking, Tim and I were talking about that this morning. I have to tell you, last night was so amazing. It was mind-blowing for me. I walk away with, you know, I was able to connect with other people. I think that, you know, to take people on my journey, I really say that, like, I lose it. Like, I mean, I lose myself. I kind of go into this blackout because I'm telling my truth. And I don't necessarily know everything is going to come out, but I allow it to. And I walk away with going like, wow, we all had a human connection. We all connected. We all, like, there was a lot of tears last night and laughter. And there was a lot of, you know, head nodding going on. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, I was able to connect with other people. And we were able to have that moment together. And I really think this whole thing called life is about moments on top of moments on top of moments. And I was able to experience that. And, you know, hopefully in the end, I give someone some hope, some knowledge, and some ability to feel like, wow, I was able to be in that and it was okay. You know, because if people are crying or laughing, they're laughing of connecting with something they've experienced.
Sure.
You know, and they were able to bring that. I was able to be part of that with them.
Excellent. Jennifer, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And sharing your story. John Lally is here, Executive Director of Today I Matter. John, tell us about, you have a personal story, as Bridget just mentioned, but I'm also curious to learn more about what is Today I Matter. What is that all about?
Well, Today I Matter is a nonprofit organization I started a couple of years ago in tribute to my son, Tim. In fact, his name is in our title. I use his initial for TIM in order to pay tribute to him and to keep him close to my heart all the time. Wherever I go and wherever I speak, he's with me, in name, but certainly in spirit. And, you know, Tim was a wonderful guy. He had a great sense of humor. You liked to be around him. He was smart, witty. But he also struggled with some, as Jennifer, depression and severe anxiety and panic attacks. And it took a young man from being an honor student in high school and being on the track team and the baseball team to becoming very isolative in his room and feeling bad about himself and feeling suicidal. And we got him help. But that set him up for vulnerability. Excuse me, like a lot of people who struggle with those illnesses, they're looking to feel better. And, you know, traditional treatments like therapy and medications really didn't help him very much. And so he never really felt good. And so substances were a way for him to start to try to feel better. That's the seductive thing about these substances, is that in the beginning they might help. You know, if drugs didn't work, people wouldn't do them a second time, generally. But people go back to them because they work. They make you feel better initially. But then they suck you in. Eventually, they take over your life, as they did with Tim. He started with pills, OxyContin, things that anybody can get in the street that many people have at home in their medicine cabinets. That's how he got started. And he eventually that dried up, so he turned to heroin, which is crazy, but it's cheaper. It's easier to get many times on the street. So he started with even smoking that. And then eventually we found out that he was injecting it. He was using needles and so it took a wonderful, witty, great kid and turned him into a shell of a person who was never happy and struggled with his addiction. He was ashamed by his addiction, embarrassed. You know, it caused a lot of difficulty in the family, as you might imagine. And as parents, we're trying to figure out how to deal with this. It's not something I had dealt with before on a personal level. Certainly on my profession, I dealt with it, but it's a whole different ballgame when it's in your family. Things are not as clear when it's in their family, when there are emotions involved. So he struggled and the family struggled a lot. And so after his demise, we decided, you know, I don't know how to make something positive come from my son's struggle except to help others. And I think this is Tim's way to give back. Tim's not around to tell his story of recovery. But through me, Tim is spreading hope. Our main mission with my organization is to reduce the shame and stigma of this disease, both addiction and mental illness, because it keeps people quiet.
And that's the story that you're sharing.
Exactly.
During this program.
Like Bridget mentioned, we have this memorial poster project. I have now over 200 posters, 2x3-foot posters. I travel around the state and took it once to Washington, D.C. We want to put a picture to what we imagined. People who don't know someone, they hear about the numbers and they're horrible. But when you see the faces, and our message is, look at these faces. These are our friends, our neighbors, our families. It's no longer what people used to think about addiction. It's us and them. It's those people. It's those junkies. It's those losers. No, this is all of us now. As Bridget mentioned, it happens everywhere. You can go in Connecticut. There's a news agency, The Patch. Every year, the last 3 years, they put out a list of every town in Connecticut. Every single town is represented and how many people that we've lost.
Connecticut Department of Public Health says two a day, two ODs a day in Connecticut.
Well, yeah, it's actually, last year was over 1,035. They're saying this year is less, but I want people to understand that don't take that at face value. The reason there are a few people dying less this year than last year is because of the use of Narcan. Narcan is a medication that reverses opiate overdose and is saving lives every day. One other thing that I'm doing as part of my organization is doing trainings around the state for how to use Narcan and get people free Narcan to have at home. That's the only reason the numbers have slightly dropped this year.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to Tim Ryan. Tim, thank you for being here this morning. You're the author, you're the expert, but you also have a story. Would you share that with us?
Yeah. You know, I was a kid that grew up, upper middle class family, all adopted, lived on a lake. Dad worked at the Chicago Board of Trade, really good life, but I was also the kid that struggled with addiction, alcoholism, drug addiction, in and out of recovery. Ultimately, you know, I'm in a high-end financial business in the technology space, wife, four kids, and after 14 months of attempting recovery, I tried one bag of heroin, and that took me down a 12-year rabbit hole. I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. I've overdosed 8 times, have been clinically dead 3. I've been to prison twice. My last stint in prison, I went because I overdosed while driving. I hit 2 cars and almost killed 4 people. And that drug Narcan, without it, I would be dead. It saved my life. And prior to going to prison, my oldest son and I started using heroin together. I caught him using it. We started using. And what people don't understand is when you're in active addiction, all morals and values are out the window. Father's rights are out the window. You use to live, you live to use. You just want to feel normal. And the ignorance of people out there that, well, it was your choice. You deserve it. You deserve to die, you junkie. I made a bad decision to try something and then unleashed a monster. And this is a progressive and chronic disease. The American Medical Association in 1956, alcoholism and substance abuse, a disease. But this is the only disease that's treated as a moral failure. And you know, just Bridget, her daughter, her granddaughter now. The shame and guilt that this poor kid gets because her parents struggled with this disease and passed away and this poor kid gets ostracized. What the hell's wrong with people? What is wrong with people today? And these are the parents. And listen up, parents, because some of you are those people I'm talking to right now. Stop the judgment. Stop the shame and guilt until this happens to you. I just spent an hour on the phone this morning with a dear friend of mine who's a police officer in Lexington, Kentucky. His twin sister was just found dead 2 days ago from prescription pain pills. Most people that get started on opiates get it from a doctor. You know, they get it from a sports injury. They get it from having their wisdom teeth pulled. But, you know, my story took me to prison. I lost everything. My wife divorced me, lost our home in foreclosure. I plugged into recovery in prison. Upon my release 13 and a half months later, I plugged back into recovery. I set up a nonprofit called A Man in Recovery Foundation. My motto is we take people from dope to hope, helping one addict at a time. And then 8 months later, on my 21-month sobriety date, my 20-year-old son Nicholas succumbed to a drug overdose. And, you know, when Nick passed, the reason he passed was, and my son never shot heroin, he snorted it. Well, you know, you got to shoot it. No, you don't. The heroin's so pure today, if there's fentanyl in it, you know, one bag can kill you. And a lot of prescription pain pills are fake, and they're fentanyl. Fentanyl's 50 times stronger than pure heroin. He snorted two bags and ate a bar of Xanax, a benzodiazepine. And a half hour later, his friends knew he was overdosed. And then they panicked. They were afraid to call the police. They put him on the sofa, went in the basement, came up an hour later, he is dead. We're not even educating our students about things like the Good Samaritan Law, where those kids could have called 911. They would have, paramedics would have saved my son. Nobody would have got arrested. And it's more education. But since Nick passed, you know, I've buried 140 kids in 4.5 years. People, youngest heroin addict I've worked with is 12 years old. The oldest is 78. I've worked with billionaires, multimillionaires, homeless, janitors, plumbers, teachers, radio DJs, and everyone else in between. You would be amazed the houses Jennifer and I walk into. And it's heart-wrenching. But there's hope out there, too, and I commend both of these individuals for what they're doing. They're part of the solution today, and they're taking their negatives and turning them into a positive. And if you want to get educated, you want to learn, come out tonight. You know, and Jennifer is very modest. You know, Jennifer was a supermodel at 14 years old. She's been in movies like Blow, Charlie's Angels, Full Throttle, Dr. Drew's Celebrity Rehab, Sober Home, Beverly Hills Housewives, sitting right here in wherever we are. Where are we?
We're in Putnam, Connecticut.
Putnam, Connecticut. And it's gorgeous out here, too, but don't say, not my child, not my town. This is everywhere. This is the number one killer in the United States of America. This opiate overdoses kill more people than car accidents and gunshots combined. This isn't an epidemic. This is a pandemic, and we're doing nothing about it. In the peak of the HIV/AIDS crisis, the government was allocating $25,000 per person with HIV or AIDS. You know what the government's allocating for a person struggling with substance abuse disorder, specifically opiates? $125. That's it. $125 per person. You know, I had a family reach out to me yesterday from Connecticut. Three older kids, inactive addiction, very successful. I don't know where I'm going to put them into treatment because there's no resources in this state to get people into treatment that are either on state insurance or have no insurance. So,
regardless of what our politicians have told you.
Yeah, the politicians, I'll agitate them all. They're full of it. I've been to the State of the Union address. I've had a documentary on A&E called Dope Man. I've published a book. I've been on Fox and Friends, Varney and Company, CNN, Lisa Ling, you name it, I've done it. And I had a good friend of mine, Congressman Randy Holcren out of Illinois, who I just saw Saturday. He's no longer a congressman. He said, Tim, I can take you to Congress. You can get up there. I'll get you 20 minutes to speak. Everybody will clap. The second you walk out of the door, nobody will care. Look at the president. He has done absolutely zero for this opiate epidemic. Absolutely nothing. And I'm mad, and I stir the pot, but I will provide solutions. And if you got a family member struggling, get your butt out there tonight.
I can hear your passion and everybody else's passion in the room. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about engaging the leaders of our communities on this issue and how you're doing that. We'll do that, let's take a commercial break, and we'll be back with more of The Talk Show right after this.
Broadway Live Productions is proud to present Voices in Concert with the New England Jazz Ensemble. Two shows only on Saturday, March 30th, with a 2 p.m. matinee and a 7:30 p.m. evening performance. Both shows are at Killingly High School, located in Dayville, Connecticut. All of your favorite music from Broadway, big band, and jazz will be performed by Broadway Live Voices from the past and Voices of the Future, with special appearances by QVCC Acapella and members of the Killingly High School school music programs. Tickets are only $16 for the 2 p.m. matinee and $18 for the 7:30 p.m. evening show. All ticket proceeds from this special concert will benefit both the Killingly High School music programs and the Quinnebaug Valley Community College Foundation. Don't miss Broadway Live's biggest concert ever with the 24-piece New England Jazz Ensemble. And get your tickets to Voices in Concert today at MyBroadwayLive.com, Killingly High School, or WINY Radio. Courtney Arsoniadis talks about wedding protection insurance from Girardi Insurance Services.
We have a wedding protector plan at Girardi Insurance. It's designed to help couples salvage some of their funds if something goes wrong. For example, you could lose your rings. You could damage your special attire for the day. 40% of claims come from venues closing or photographers not showing up. 23% are weather related. And in 2017, with all the hurricanes, pretty much anyone who had an outdoor wedding had to postpone it. We can also cover you for sickness or an injury. You can add on liability insurance or liquor liability insurance.
Is it expensive?
No. It starts at about $160. We certainly hope that everything goes smooth for you and everything is as planned, but if for some reason the weather forgets to save the date, we are here for you. Give us a call at Girardi Insurance Services. Our number is 860-928-7771.
And see them online at GirardiOnline.com.
Get ready for Guest Bartender Night. Join Day Kimball's staff and friends for an evening full of fun and a little friendly competition as we battle for your tips. Guest Bartender Night will be held on Thursday, March 28th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Black Dog Bar and Grill at 146 Park Road in Putnam. We'll have Day Kimball staff and community folks from Bank Hometown, Putnam Ford, Putnam Lions, Gates Auto Group, Spiral, the Putnam Business Association, WINY Radio, and more. All guest bartenders will take turns serving up cocktails and fun for a good cause. So come out and support your favorite team. All tips will be donated to the Northeast Connecticut Cancer Fund of DKH. All funds stay local and provide financial assistance for cancer services to residents of Northeast Connecticut. Don't miss the party. Make plans for Guest Bartender Night on Thursday, March 28th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Black Dog Bar and Grill, 146 Park Road in Putnam, hosted by the Cruisin' for Cancer Care Committee.
Hi, this is David Sizemore, principal of St. Joseph School in North Grosvenordale, inviting prospective families to visit our school community for a special open house that we will be hosting on Wednesday evening, March 27th, from 6 p.m. until 7:30 p.m. This will be a great opportunity for families considering sending their children to St. Joseph School in the fall to meet many members of our wonderful community, as well as find out more information about our academic, athletic, and extracurricular programs. At St. Joseph School, our mission is to create a strong foundation of Catholic faith in a caring, respectful, and nurturing environment across grades pre-K through grade 8. Through a strong partnership between faculty, staff, and parents, we have successfully educated young people since 1882. Again, please come and visit our special community on Wednesday evening, March 27th, and see for yourself why our children shine at St. Joseph School.
St. Joseph School, 26 Main Street in North Grosvenordale. Call 860-923-2090 and see them online at schoolofstjoseph.org.
Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
Welcome back to the WINY Talk Show. It is 9:36, and we have guests in our studio. We're talking about the Quiet Corner's urgent conversation. Let's start again with Bridget Jurcik. Bridget, tell us what, if folks are considering coming tonight to the program at the Academy, lay it out for us. What should they expect, and why are you encouraging everybody to come, or just people affected?
No, my gosh, that's the whole point is those affected, yes, of course, because hearing other stories helps them to know that recovery and hope is possible. And that's two of the most important things with Jennifer and Tim to take away from that. But at the same time, it's the families that don't think they have an issue. Maybe everything's hunky-dory in your world, but your child definitely knows somebody who is struggling with something. And as a parent, I think it's our jobs to be able to let them talk to you about it. And that's huge. And it's being able to be a parent, not and as Tim was saying last night, not their friend. We're their parent. At the end of the day, we are the parents. And I think this should be, if you have children, you should be there, and your children should be with you. In all honesty, I think the education starts too late. If you're starting education for your children in high school, your children have already been exposed to drugs. I hate to tell you, it's probably about 100%. So you can either, we can either act as if it's not going to happen to us and pray like hell. But at the end of the day, I've lost a child. I am no longer going to hope like hell.
What do you want to see come out of this?
Well, what I'd like to see is...
Or where does it go next, maybe, is a better question.
This is where it is going next. And the reason I brought people like Tim and Jennifer is to let people know that this is a huge problem. And the Quiet Corner is a wonderful community to live in. I have lived here most of my life and adore it. But I think as a community... We're a village, and we need to look after each other. And if we don't look after each other, and if we ostracize others and continue to do this, we are going to, the next generation of children that are coming up, it's going to change everything that we know. So we have a chance to do something. And if we can do something within our own area. So I want to start a parents group, a support group for those who've lost and those who are in the throes of this or just want to come and learn. I mean, does it hurt to just maybe hear a story and then maybe somehow connect and not realize that you even, like, had a problem? So come out, bring your friends. I mean, tell them. I mean, the importance... I'll tell you, last night was awesome, and to hear these stories and to feel this and have that interconnection with all of us, because it was an open conversation. That's what we're trying to do, and it doesn't hurt you to just, like I said, just take that chance. Maybe learn about something that you have an idea on, and maybe you're wrong.
Give me the details on tonight. Where, when?
So it's at the Woodstock Academy at the Arts Center, right across from Woodstock Middle School. Use the last driveway to come in, just so, because I know a lot of people have driven by it. So it starts at 6:30. I encourage you to get there for like 6. There's tables on display from different organizations. So you'll be able to see different local things that we have that are available to you. In addition to that, then you come into a room of just honest communication and love for others and wanting to change things. And that's what you're hearing, stories that maybe sound in some ways horrific, but in some ways so close, because I think we all have parts of our lives. I mean, I don't know anyone that doesn't. We're all a product of something. So why not maybe listen and maybe connect and maybe realize, or maybe you don't realize it, and your child is exhibiting signs that you don't quite understand, but you're not paying attention to because life is so busy. So maybe this is a way to
start the conversation.
To start the conversation with them.
Tim, you We love political talk on this show, and we get into it on a daily basis.
Yeah.
You brought up the politicians, and there are a number of things that fall under political emergencies. You could pick immigration, you could pick a variety of different topics. Why do you think, and you've all touched on this, but why do you think the opioid, and I'll use your word, pandemic, has not risen to the top of that list of emergencies?
Because of companies like Purdue Pharma that fueled this opiate epidemic, that are fueling tens of millions of dollars into the lobbying campaigns. And it's the big secret. It's a big thing they don't want to talk about, because a lot of politicians don't want their damn pocketbooks getting hurt. It all right down the road, Purdue Pharma. You know, when they came out with OxyContin in 1996, that's when this pandemic started. Now they're wanting to file bankruptcy because of hundreds of millions and billions of dollars worth of lawsuits available out there going after them. But Big Pharma controls Congress. They control the Senate. And I don't care what anybody says. And, you know, I'm the guy that came out of prison, started a nonprofit, started helping people. And I still get it. Jennifer and I get arrows shot at us. She's 13 years sober. I'm 6 and a half. We're both public figures. And we get arrows shot at us because we're in a relationship, too. And, you know, I'm finalizing my divorce, and it's all public. I don't hide anything. I don't wear the mask. And people would rather want to go after the things and talk instead of get into the solutions. This is a tough road. This opiate pandemic is the biggest monster I've ever seen, and so people are afraid to get involved.
This is not an easy question to answer. I don't think there's an easy answer out there, but who is responsible? Is there somebody that you all could agree on to point to say this is the root of what this issue is all about? Is it recreational marijuana? Is it doctors? Is it Big Pharma? Is it politicians?
A lot of it is Big Pharma. A lot of it is uneducated doctors. That you look at the JCO accreditation through the Joint Commissions. You go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, you see the smiley faces. Oh, I'm a 10, I'm in pain. Give them prescriptions. Don't let people leave in pain because that's how they were paid. If I go in and I'm complaining about you as a doctor, it's going to affect my pay structure. So here, give them pills. A lot of doctors, with all their training, get about an hour's worth of addiction training through all of medical school. Doctors are some of the most uneducated people I've ever seen when it comes to substance abuse disorder. Now, not all. There's some really good ones out there, but a lot of them just when you spend 5 minutes with the doctor. So there, Big Pharma. And the drug cartels, drugs have been around. They're not going away. They're never going to go away. So we need to look at things like harm reduction and safe injection sites and Narcan and meeting people where they're at. In MAT, medicated assisted treatment. You know, I can't help someone if they're dead. The three of us cannot help our children because they're dead. And if we had the right resources and tools to meet them where they're at, not everyone's recovery is the same. Jennifer, you give your input as well.
Well, I mean, I agree on everything that you're saying. I also think that, you know, it starts at home. It really does. You know, our future generation children, like the parents need to be informed. They need to have conversations instead of allowing. We had a long discussion. All of us were talking about it last night. The phones, like, you know, and that like, you know, you let them watch TV and you watch the phones, like, have communication, have conversations, find out why, what they're struggling about or what their day was like, you know. And I also think you know, the insurance company, you know, I can go to any doctor today and I'll say my back hurts because I have back pain, I have problems, and they'll give me medication, like, you know, strong, like, you know, drugs, and I can't take that. I'm in recovery, and I do believe pain medication or medication works for those who are sick, you know, but there, you don't need, you know, 30 pills of Percocet, you know, because you just need a couple if you're having surgery afterwards. I also believe insurance companies, you know, are ones to blame too. Like, they won't give you, you know, you can go and get pain medication, but you can't get mental health medication for that. And, you know, we're struggling with people killing themselves left and right now. And there's a thing going, like, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know, the addiction or the mental disorders? There's a lot of people suffering from that. And we don't know until you're 6 months, you know, clean from when you take away the drinking and the drugs from somebody, if they're suffering from something else, you know. And that's really important to know. And teachers right now could help as well. I mean, there's many resources, many ways for us to get the message out.
I think you just summed up what Bridget was saying. It takes a village, I guess.
Yeah, right. It does. It takes a village.
Do you feel that doctors and hospitals, prescribers, let's just say prescribers, the tide is starting to turn where they're not doling out as much?
It depends state by state, literally county by county. Some are really getting on top of it. But even in Illinois, there's a prescriber database. So if I go doctor shopping, the doctor is supposed to look and see if I've had any prescriptions in the past 30 days for Vicodin. They're not taking the time to do it. Type in your DEA number and do it. But time is of the essence, and they don't take the time to do it. But Jennifer hit on a key point, too. You know, getting help. United Healthcare just had a major lawsuit because they were not certing people that have. I had United Healthcare. I pay a lot of money for out-of-network insurance, $1,800 a month, and people are not getting certified for mental health treatment or substance abuse treatment. And I've been struggling for, say, 10 years. You think 3 weeks of treatment and I'm cured? There needs to be a longer continuum of care, and everybody should have access for help. They shouldn't have to wait 12 to 16 weeks to get a bed.
I need to take a quick commercial break. We've got a lot more to talk about, so stay tuned. We'll get John. I know that you want to jump in on the conversation, too. We'll take a quick break. Back with more right after this.
This is going out to all you folks who love life. If you're over 50, talk with your doctor about getting tested for colon cancer. Colon cancer starts with no symptoms, and it's the number two cancer killer in the U.S. for men and women. Medicare and most insurance plans help pay for colorectal cancer screening. Screening saves lives. So if you're over 50, get tested and keep on living the life you love. Brought to you by Generations Family Health Center.
Broadway Live Productions is proud to present Voices in Concert with the New England Jazz Ensemble. Two shows only on Saturday, March 30th with a 2 p.m. matinee and a 7:30 p.m. evening performance. Both shows are at Killingly High School, located in Dayville, Connecticut. All of your favorite music from Broadway, big band and jazz will be performed by Broadway Live Voices from the past and Voices of the future, with special appearances by QVCC Acapella and members of the Killingly High School music programs. Tickets are only $16 for the 2 p.m. matinee and $18 for the 7:30 p.m. evening show. All ticket proceeds from this special concert will benefit both the Killingly High School music programs and the Quinebaug Valley Community College Foundation. Don't miss Broadway Live's biggest concert ever with the 24-piece New England Jazz Ensemble, and get your tickets to Voices in Concert today at mybroadwaylive.com, Killingly High School, or WINY Radio.
Are you going to work today? Why won't this thing move? Ah, I can't take this.
Computer giving you trouble? Savage Systems Service Center provides technical support to homes and businesses in the northeastern Connecticut area, focusing on diligent, reliable, honest service for computer users facing problems they require assistance with.
But it won't even boot!
Don't get frustrated. Let us untangle the mess you're in and help you understand how to prevent it from happening again. Spyware and virus removal, tune-ups, network installation, PC repairs and upgrades, new systems with in-home installation, on-site business tech support, even training. Let's hear what Dr. Roto of Riverview Medical had to say.
We found Savage Systems to be a credible, reliable company. We were in trouble. We had a software support service that left us in a lurch, and Savage Systems came in and upgraded our hardware, untangled the various mess we were in, and put us back on track.
Call 860-928-3422 or stop in today and see the difference so many others have seen. Savage Systems Service Center, we're here for you.
Get ready for Guest Bartender Night. Join Day Kimball's staff and friends for an evening full of fun and a little friendly competition as we battle for your tips. Guest Bartender Night will be held on Thursday, March 28th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Black Dog Bar and Grill at 146 Park Road in Putnam. We'll have Day Kimball staff and community folks from Bank Hometown, Putnam Ford, Putnam Lions, Gates Auto Group, Spiral, the Putnam Business Association, WINY Radio, and more. All guest bartenders will take turns serving up cocktails and fun for a good cause. So come out and support your favorite team. All tips will be donated to the Northeast Connecticut Cancer Fund of DKH. All funds stay local and provide financial assistance for cancer services to residents of Northeast Connecticut. Don't miss the party. Make plans for Guest Bartender Night on Thursday, March 28th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Black Dog Bar and Grill, 146 Park Road in Putnam, hosted by the Cruisin' for Cancer Care Committee.
Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Call the WINY Talk Show now and offer your opinion and ideas at 928-1350. Call now and be heard.
Welcome back to the WINY Talk Show. John Lally, John, you wanted to get in on this conversation a little bit. It's not, you know, we're talking about companies and politicians. Bring it home for us, so to speak.
Well, I think, Dave, you asked a question before of Bridget, of who should come tonight. Should it be people who really have a stake in this, or general public? With all due respect, because you're good at what you do, I think that's a silly question.
Okay.
I think there is no difference. This is all of our problem. If we don't know someone right now, we're going to know someone very soon. You know, I never thought it would happen in my family, but it did. Anyone who thinks this is not me, this is not my family, this is not my neighborhood, is ridiculous. And they're going to learn the hard way. It's no longer us and them. It was easy. When people don't understand things like mental illness or addiction that do horrible things for people, and people might act different and act strange, we vilify that. And to make ourselves feel better, we say, I'm not like them. It's those people. And those are that's besides the pharmaceutical companies and the prescriptions and the lack of resources. I think that's a big problem, is that attitude. As long as people can say, that's not my problem, it's their problem, it's those junkies, it's their problem, it's those bad families, then things are not going to change. And so that's why everyone needs to come out. It's like, cause this is everybody's problem. This is not us and them anymore. This is us and our families and our communities and our loved ones.
You know, I want to jump in here. I just had to step out to a dear friend of mine, Teddy Melton, who's a police officer in Lexington, Kentucky. His twin sister just passed away from an opiate overdose 2 days ago. I had to step out and pay the fee to transport her body 150 miles so they can bury her. Those are the things I deal with on a daily basis. Now, I've got to help one of my best friends get through the death of his sister. And our foundation is, thank God, in the position to be able to help pay for things like this. People don't understand, too, when people pass away, a lot of families don't have the resources to bury their loved ones, to have them cremated. Putting scholarships together for these kids that have lost their parents, their parents that they idolized, that they looked up to, that struggled with the disease, and then they're going to get ostracized and stuff. So, you know, if you want to come together as a community, let's get some scholarships put together. Let's get some sober living homes in this community. Let's start looking. I'd much rather have someone in recovery living next door to me than a child molester.
Jennifer, as you've been here in northeastern Connecticut, you came to a little bit of an epiphany about our area. What was that?
There is no sober livings. There's no treatment centers here. It is absurd. It's mind-blowing to me. I'm honestly appalled at the fact that there is no community support and there is no sober livings. Like, you want, like Tim was saying, you want people that are in recovery to live next door to you. You know, and again, it's not about us or them. It's a we thing today. You know, there is not one person that I have met, and by breaking my anonymity on a literally worldly scale, by doing the sober house and celebrity rehab mm-hmm. shows and all that, and talking, being an activist and a thought leader, I have found from all over the world, there is not one person not affected by someone who suffers from alcoholism or drug addiction or mental disorders. It may be you, it may be your family member, someone you love, your neighbor, your employer, employee, some hapless passerby. We are all affected. And when the addict and the alcoholic is out there suffering, they're not the only ones that are dying. It's everyone that loves them around that is slowly dying with them. And for us to turn the other cheek is ridiculous. I do not stand for that for 1 minute. I do not stand for that. I think it's mind-blowing.
So if you have a chance to sit down and have a cup of coffee with someone who says, well, when we have these types of facilities in our community, it means our community has a problem, and our community really doesn't have a problem, so we don't need to have it. What do you say?
I say that your ignorance is bliss, and you're not living in reality. I was talking to a teacher, a principal last night, and she told me in this town, she finds pills all over the bathroom every single day. The kids are using drugs. Let's not make any like joke about it, and let's not be in denial. They are drinking and trying things. And today they have no coping skills because they're on their phones all day. You know, and parents aren't really putting that much attention. Let's just be honest. Let's have an open conversation. We are not communicating with the younger generations.
On what Jennifer just mentioned, Bridget, you use the term recovery-friendly community. Define that for us.
A community that is recovery-friendly. I mean, let's have places that we can join at that are... don't have to have alcohol, don't have to, and be able to enjoy that and have them come work for us and give them that chance. Let us have the recovery homes here. When we are putting somebody in recovery, we are shaping our future. if we continue to hide these people and just let them die away, we are destroying our future. Because when they die, we have people like my granddaughter and we have people like other children in this area who literally suffer. Parents that are suffering. I mean, none of us wants to bury our child, but it's worse when you bury your child and it's meant to be a shameful thing that your child died from an overdose. And not only are you going through that, but then on top of it, you're going through the arrangements for that child and how you're going to pay for that. And then here we are in retirement, raising a young child. And then on top of that, she still doesn't have a headstone to this day. And could I have? But you know what? There's also living children that I have to take care of. And what people don't understand is that it hasn't, when they think that, you know, that after they die, life is easier.
There are a lot of people that push back, and you've talked about the pushback that you've gotten. And folks that are saying, why should we be pouring so many resources, whether it be money or otherwise, into this issue when it's really the parents should have gotten a hold on it? It's your fault. There are strong things to say. You're not a good parent or whatever. There's a lot of pushback to that. Why should the community as a whole be the one lifting this up?
I'll tell you that.
And not personal responsibility.
Because this epidemic costs our country over $1 trillion a year. Alcoholism costs over $350 million. Tobacco, opiates. And people say, well, I don't have anyone struggling. It affects your tax dollars, your bottom line. We have to treat this as a nationwide pandemic, which we're not doing. And one other thing, I started the second program in the United States of America where a drug addict can walk into a police station and ask for help in Dixon, Illinois, because they had 8 overdose deaths. And we've put over 400 people into treatment. We need to get law enforcement involved. We need to be part of the solution here.
Thank you. And thank you all for coming. Bridget, tonight, 6:30 at the Academy South Campus.
Yes.
You want everybody to come and at least listen and consider what you have to say.
If your child is not signed up for tomorrow, any high school in Windham County, if your child is not signed up, sign them up today at
the training YMCA. At the YMCA tomorrow morning. Thank you all for being here and being courageous. We will now take a break for news. Wish you all the best of luck.
1350 AM WINY Putnam and 97.1 FM W246 DN Putnam, online at winyradio.com.